Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. If you'd like to have your, some people call it 2 cents worth put in, that's wonderful. If you'd have a question, some dialogue or discussion that you'd like to intervene and say in relationship to our subject today, we're talking about America under attack. How should we then live? Based on what is taking place in America today, how should Christians respond? I've given three imperatives. We've done the extended monologue in relationship to what is taking place, and we focused on the attempt to impeach President Donald J. Trump with the rush to judgment. In fact, everything the socialists, Marxists, Democrats have done since President Trump went into office, they've tried to undermine, overthrow, and tear down. And that's because of the coup that has they attempted to put into place, where there was a full attempt to do so by the shadow government. And the thing that burdens me, ladies and gentlemen, if I can be so bold as to announce that, the thing that burdens me is the fact that we as Christians are seemingly silent. We seemingly are sitting on the sideline. It seems as though things can take place locally, statewide, and nationally. And the, I call it the loose likes lost liberals, get involved with a frontline, front page intervention in it and taking a stand for it, morals, ethics, and values that are antithetical to the scripture. And it seems as though Christians are in the closet. Christians need to become involved. That's imperative number one, become involved. Imperative number two is to vote. And as I said before the top of the hour break, Dr. James Dobson warned that if Christians do not vote, America will become a socialist nation. And the third imperative is pray. Prayer invites the power of God to come in and allow God to heal our land. Now, prayer is where we're having a communication with God. You see, if we're going to have a godly dialogue, we study the Bible, read the Bible, and God speaks to us. As we pray, we're speaking to God. We're talking to God. And I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, if we were as Christians to band together across the nation in unified prayer, that God would cease and desist, cause to cease and desist the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, and that he would give a victory for President Donald J. Trump. Now, I don't say this believing that President Trump is a perfect person. If you're listening to me today, you're not. If you have said you're saved, you're still not perfect. If you say that you're perfect and there's no sin, 1 John says you're a liar. Truth is not in you. So let me simply be forthright. As Christians, we need to get involved. We need to vote. We need to pray. And I'm talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today, and we're talking about prayer. We're talking about what happens when we pray and how we should pray. Dr. Phelps, do we have any examples that we could share with Old Testament? New Testament biblical characters where they prayed, God responded, heard the prayer and responded, and what God did in relationship to their prayer, and whether or not that is valid today for Christians, if we were to pray, can we pray and expect God to answer when we're praying for God to heal our land, when we're praying for God to intervene and protect our president, when we're praying for God to reveal the sin and to allow victory to take place for the nation and preserve our constitutional republic? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very clear. The person that digs a hole for another will fall in it. And I think that that's what we can see take place if we pray. Dr. Phelps, would you respond to that? What do you think? What does the Bible say about men of old that prayed, and what did God do?
The Bible tells us in our New Testament that the Old Testament scriptures, whatsoever things are written aforetime, it's as the phrase I'm talking about in the book of Romans, the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. So that means that we can look at the examples that are found in Old Testament times, yes, of men of faith who prayed and received answers as then a model for us. So I'm thinking of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. There was a time when one of the good kings called Asa was invaded, a million-man army, in fact, over a million, who invaded the land. And the scriptures tell us in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, that Asa cried unto the Lord. That means he prayed aloud to the Lord in the midst of the battle. He was perhaps riding in his chariot in the midst of the battle, and he talked with God. He told God that he needed help. Listen to these words. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in the name, thy name, we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So that was his prayer. So the Lord answered, and the scriptures tell us, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and his army then pursued after them and drove them out of their land. God answered in a miraculous way. God hears the prayer of the righteous. So that's one example in the scriptures found in the Old Testament. Now, we're told in the New Testament as well that Paul and Silas, the first missionaries that were sent out to preach the gospel in other lands, prayed, they talked with God, and God answered. So I'm going to look at the book of Acts in the New Testament. Paul and Silas were arrested and put in prison by the people of the land at Philippi. They had violated some ordinance, perhaps. Something caused them to be put into prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed. So that means that they prayed and praised God, and God sent an earthquake to release them. Why? I believe it was so they could minister the gospel freely.
God answered the prayer and let them out.
Yes.
A similar thing took place, Dr. Phelps, I believe, with Peter when he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And they gathered together in a home, and they had a prayer meeting. Tell us what happened when they prayed about Peter being in prison, Dr. Phelps.
According to the book of Acts, chapter 12, Peter was arrested by the authorities because of the religious leaders who disagreed with his theology.
That's right.
And he was kept in prison. But the Bible tells us prayer was made on the part of the church without ceasing unto God for him. And he was in mortal danger. He would have been brought out by the king and perhaps dealt with severely, even perhaps by execution. But the Bible tells us that as a result of their praying, that God sent the angel of God and gave them freedom, allowed him to march right out of the prison, all the doors opened again, and he went past the first and second ward and came to the iron gate of the city. It opened just on its own accord. They went out, and they began then to go back to the church where they were praying. And this is early in the morning, or very, we might say, during the night, perhaps after midnight. And Peter said, surely the Lord has answered their prayer, and he has delivered me. And he came to the home where they were, to the house where they were praying, and knocked on the door, and they could hardly believe their eyes. God had answered
their
prayer.
In fact, Dr. Phelps, I find it kind of fascinating in that text. They were praying, supposedly believing that God would do it. They prayed, and God opened the prison doors and let Peter out.
Yeah.
But then when he got to the door, they didn't believe it was him. So they were praying without really believing that God's going to answer the prayer.
Yeah.
But God did anyway. Dr. Phelps, who should we pray for? Who should Christians pray for today?
Let me suggest, first of all, we should pray for all of our elected leaders.
Yes.
So let's do that right now.
Let's do that.
Heavenly Father, we seek your guidance and help for our president. Please allow him freedom to do the things that he must do in the leadership of our nation. May he allow you to help him in all things pertaining to our country. Lord, we pray that our president, his wife, and family might be saved, be safe, and be successful. We desire that our president, as head of our nation, might be supported with wise counsel, men and women of integrity, who place your agenda and the good of our nation above our own motives and ambitions, and who will serve to do what is right. We also pray for our president and vice president, and for those who serve in Congress, in our state legislature, and in our city council, that they will realize that they are elected to serve as our representatives in public office. May they serve with integrity, honesty, and the fear of God. Thank you. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Dr. Phelps, who else should we pray for? I know in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and you might want to read those two verses for our audience. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. It tells us, and we just prayed for our leaders, but I want to modify that some. It tells us we're to pray for those that are leading and the leadership roles, and it talks about political leadership in that context. But I want to ask you a question. Perhaps our audience needs to understand this. Should Christians pray for the socialist, Marxist, Democrats? And if so, how?
The scriptures tell us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said we should have prayer and supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks for all men. Now, that means every one of them, for kings and for all that are in authority. And when he said all, that means every one of them, not just those for whom we have voted. So put it that way.
That's right. So if that's the case, Dr. Phelps, and it is, that's biblical, what should the Christian's prayer be like for those that are trying to tear down and destroy our government? What should the Christian's prayer be like for what I call, ladies and gentlemen, I don't apologize for it, the socialist, Marxist, Democrats? Some call them the Demorats. I believe they're satanically, demonically inspired. Should Dr. Phelps, how specifically should we pray for those, for example, Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and others that are openly in your face, want to tear down and destroy our Constitution, our Republic, and the very foundations. Our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. They've rejected those out of hand. The whole Democratic Party has booted God, rejected God, said prayer has no place in the House of the Senate, that there is no place for God in the halls of Congress. So how should we pray for those folks?
Well, one of the things that I have already done is to pray for their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pray that they might be saved, because that's what this scripture says to do. It says in 1 Timothy 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
So, first of all, we should pray for their salvation, that God would change their lives, and so as to change them entirely and change their attitudes.
Well, Dr. Phelps, would there be anything amiss biblically if a Christian says, God, remove them? God, remove them and put men in their stead that will stand for you and for your word and for the biblical concept of governance and what government is supposed to be. I believe, Dr. Phelps, that multitudes in Washington today and other state houses across America, I believe they have lost sight of the fact that government is designed of God, instituted of God, brought into place by Holy God for the purpose of being a servant to God.
Yes.
And if they are not a servant to God, of God, and for God, Is it right or is it wrong? I believe a lot of people need to hear this. Is it right or wrong for Christians to say, God, remove them from their position of power and influence if they are not saved, if they're not going to get saved, and if they're going to destroy our nation? Is that an appropriate view of Scripture for that, Dr. Phelps?
I think that one of the things that we need to realize that Scripture teach us that God puts down one and raises up another.
Very
That's
good,
Psalm,
yes.
Psalm 75, that God puts down one, sets up another. Promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one, sets up another. So I believe it's correct for us to pray that God would intervene and that God would rebuke
yes.
the enemies of our nation. So I suggest that we might do that even now.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, over the past several months, the socialist radicals who now control the Democratic Party have put forward and passed House Bill 788, a legislation that would destroy our economy, bankrupt our government, restrict and eliminate our freedom, and undermine our national security. Will you please cause such legislation to fail when brought before
yes.
the Senate for vote? Lord, please raise up patriotic leaders to serve in our local, our state, and national government offices. We need mayors and city council members, people of character, who will serve for the good of our country with integrity. We need good people to serve in our state legislature with honesty, who are pledged to uphold our Constitution, who will promote family values, who will protect the freedoms we have guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution,
yes.
and who will stand for what is right. We need patriotic leaders to serve in the U.S. Congress, who will love and uphold our constitutional republic, who will defend the freedoms of our citizens, who will embrace moral values, and who promote national security. Lord, we ask that you will intervene and rebuke those who want to bring chaos and anarchy to the streets of America. Some enemies of our form of government, Michael Bloomberg, George Soros, and Tom Steyer, who pay large amounts of money to bribe some of our elected leaders to do wrong. We ask that they might come to the knowledge of God through Christ as Savior, that they might heed the gospel of Christ, be saved by your grace, become followers of God, and promote good things. Please rebuke their efforts to destroy America.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you will defeat the efforts of the ungodly, socialist, Democrats, the progressives, the liberals, the jihadists, and the communists who seem to hate America and want to adopt the failed policies of countries like that of ruined Venezuela, Cuba, and some other European countries. These people are determined to take away or restrict many of our constitutional rights and freedoms in order to force compliance to their radical agenda. Please stop their push to bring socialism
yes.
to America. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that prayer, Dr. Phelps. Dr. Phelps, today whole denominations, entire religious denominations, supposedly Christian denominations, have embraced abortion. They've embraced the LGBTQ agenda. They've embraced the sodomite lifestyle. Is it possible that what we see today taking place in our nation is, and what's happening in Washington, is it possible it's God's judgment on America because of what whole denominations have done? Should we pray for our churches and for congregations and for pastors, Dr. Phelps?
Yes, sir. We believe that we should pray for all men, and that would include religious leaders. So let's do that. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for the pastors, deacons, elders, bishops, teachers, and other leaders of the churches in our country. We recognize the need for God-called men and women
yes.
who will have biblical faith and integrity, honesty, holiness, and boldness to lead the body of Christ, the church. We beseech you to rebuke those who forsake biblical truth and who sponsor false teaching and compromise the gospel of Christ. Lord, please raise up pastors, evangelists, and teachers to call America back to the Bible, back to biblical morality, back to pleasing the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, your church is need of real repentance in response to the faithful preaching and teaching of the truth of the Word of God.
Yes.
Lord, please grant that the people who call themselves Christians will be turned back to you, back to the Bible, and back to godly living and to morality in our homes and in our communities and in our schools. Mm. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name and for your glory and honor. We do pray.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Phelps, I believe that if our republic is to be saved, if we're going to secure our foundations once again, the Christian Judeo foundations, I believe that America in general and Christians in particular must hate sin, put God back in the classroom, say no to the LGBTQ agenda, say no to murder by way of abortion. Parents must take responsibility of teaching our sons and our daughters the truth of the Word of God. But even with all of that, Dr. Phelps, we find many times the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, and those that are wanting to overthrow our nation, want to destroy our churches, want to absolutely crush Christians and the Word of God. I believe that we see many times they'll file suit and a radical judge will hear their plea and will restrain what is right and allow what is wrong to go forward. Should we pray for our judges today? And how should we pray for our judges? What should be the prayer on the Christian's lips for these judges? Some of them are radical judges. In fact, Dr. Phelps, the overwhelming majority of these judges that are making wild, erroneous, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-constitutional decisions, they're the Obama appointees. Obama stacked the courts, ladies and gentlemen, across the nation. Most all of the appeals court, most all of the federal court judges that's in on the bench today were appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. And so, Dr. Phelps, how should we respond in relationship to our prayer as Christians for the judges that are on the benches today?
Well, let's pray specifically for the judges in our courts. Heavenly Father, our Supreme Court, Superior Courts, and Lower Court judges make decisions that affect all of the citizens of the United States.
Right.
As they make decisions, we pray that they'll realize that they're responsible to you, the sovereign judge of the universe, and have you in mind. May they be reminded that they're to make decisions that are in accord with the U.S. Constitution. Please raise up people who are patriotic, that is, who support your form of government as specified in our Constitution. We need judges who know American history and affirm our constitutional
yes.
republic. We know that you established government to protect the citizens and to secure our rights. Please oversee the process of selecting court judges who will serve in integrity. And we pray that in your mighty wisdom and power, that you will cause those who are not qualified to serve may be replaced by those who want to honor you. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Dr. Phelps, I believe that prayer in relationship to our judges that Christians ought to pray is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg would go ahead and retire. One of the things I think would be the greatest legacy of President Trump, the greatest legacy that for the next 50 to 60 years would be a legacy that could be enjoyed and the bounty of it and the blessings of it for the Christians in America is if President Trump would have the privilege and the opportunity to appoint and have confirmed mm-hmm. one more
yes.
Supreme Court judge.
Yes.
And so I'm praying every day, and I don't mind our listeners knowing it. I'm praying every day, God, remove Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Let her go ahead and retire. She has reached the point that she's reached the point of insignificance and has a responsibility that with that responsibility being carried out wrongly and without divine wisdom. So I'm praying that, ladies and gentlemen. And the other thing, Dr. Phelps, I believe we need to do as Christians, if we want to see America back on track, want to see God preserve the foundations. Not only Christians ought to hate sin, put the Bible back in classroom, put God back in the classroom, say no to the LGBT sodomite agenda, say no to abortion, which is murder. Parents must also take responsibility for training our children, and we must refuse to allow secularism to go into place. We need to also, I believe, Dr. Phelps, because many of these things are misguided and are absent from the truth when it comes to what the media says. Should we pray for the media, knowing that it's a fake media for the most part? How should we pray in relationship, Dr. Phelps, to our media?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I suggest that we do that now.
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the news media, the people who report the news by way of radio, TV, magazine, and newspapers, that they may be truthful, unbiased, and honest in their reporting. We pray that you'll rebuke the New York Times and others of their false reporting. Please rebuke the TV personnel who falsify their statements about the activities of our president. Please give us credible news commentators who deserve the trust of all the listening audience. May we have people serving in the media who are of good, wholesome character, who will show respect for our elected officials, who dress in modest apparel, who love America, and who seek to tell the truth. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, we've got about a minute and a half left on this broadcast. Would you be kind enough to turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and read that deliberately for our audience? And tell us what that means in these closing moments of this broadcast, how Christians should respond to it. We've got about 1 minute. Would you read that for us, comment on it briefly, and then we'll close the broadcast today.
2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." It's the responsibility is upon God's people, those who profess to be Christians, shall humble themselves. And so we ask that each of you pay attention to what this verse says.
Yes.
Humble people are likely to pray and call upon God.
Absolutely.
And to seek God's face.
Yes.
And turn from their wicked ways.
That's the key.
We believe that this is so important for us who claim the name of Christ.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.